Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Jolene Ivey, a frequent contributor to the Tell Me More Parenting segment and a Maryland State Delegate from the 47th District. As an African-American woman politician, I'm proud to pay tribute to the late U.S. Congresswoman Shirley Chisholm. She was exactly the kind of politician I aspire to be, outspoken, fearless, and true. Shirley Chisholm won a seat in the New York State Assembly in 1964 and 4 years later ran successfully for Congress with the campaign theme, Shirley Chisholm, Unbought and Unbossed. She was the first black woman elected to Congress. During a time when it was not popular to do so, she opposed the Vietnam War. Our country's indebted to her for her fierce commitment to women's rights. She introduced the bill that brought publicly funded daycare centers to our country. She made sure the domestic workers got unemployment insurance. And she spoke out for a woman's right to pursue any career path, making her a firebrand in her day.
I am not the candidate of Black America, although I am black and proud. I am not the candidate of the women's movement of this country, although I am a woman, and I'm equally proud of that. I am not the candidate of any political bosses or fat cats or special interests. I am the candidate of the people.
Congresswoman Chisholm ran for President of the United States in 1972 and was the first woman and first African American to do so. She didn't win the Democratic nomination, but she made a crack in the glass ceiling that President Barack Obama broke through in 2008.
That was Maryland State Delegate Jolene Ivey, a regular in our weekly parenting segment, The Moms, saluting her Black History hero, Shirley Chisholm. To browse the full series of Tell Me More Black History essays, please log on to npr.org and in the search field, type Black History Heroes.
Sally Beauty's new all-in-one hair color kits make it easy to color your hair at home. Get everything you need to color for beautifully radiant results. Loved by professionals, open to everyone. Sally Beauty.
Blog Talk. To promote my new flower shop, I had one place print my business cards, another print my brochures, and a third, my signs. Now my roses aren't red, my violets aren't blue, my geraniums look dead, and I don't know what to do.
Staples can help your business stand out with signs, banners, and brochures that are a true reflection of your company. And now with Staples, spend $50 or more on print and marketing services and get $5 off your next in-store purchase.
Now my business is blossoming and I'm spending less green.
Exclusions apply. In-store only. End 6/23/18.
Blog Talk Radio.
May I help you?
Yeah, it's this cold. My sinuses feel like they're going to explode.
Sudafed, aisle 5.
My allergies have my sinuses all stuffed up.
Sudafed, aisle 5.
Tell the man what's wrong.
My sinuses. Sudafed, aisle 5.
Sinus misery? Get Sudafed. Nothing stronger at relieving even your worst sinus symptoms. Not even a prescription.
This could just...
Sudafed, aisle 5.
Sudafed. Prescription strength sinus relief. Based on 24-hour dose of pseudoephedrine.
Hi, I'm Amanda Pete. Like all new parents, my husband and I want what's best for our baby. When it was time for our daughter's immunizations, we wanted the facts. So we carefully researched vaccines. We spoke with doctors and other experts and asked some tough questions. We decided that vaccines were the best thing for our child. I urge you to get the facts. Learn the facts about vaccines so you can make the best healthcare decisions for your family. Thank you.
A message from the American Academy of Pediatrics and VaccinateYourBaby.org.
Would you like to know where your family came from? Are you planning a reunion? Is your business celebrating an anniversary? Valerie Metzler, archivist historian, can help. With 34 years of experience as an archivist, preserving and making accessible documents and photographs, and as a historian researching genealogies, Valerie Metzler, archivist historian, can bring your history to life and preserve it for your children's grandchildren. For more information, email her, vmahkeycon.net. That's vmahkeycon.net. Or call 814-932-1740.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Lock and Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network. I'm your host, your proud host, Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of locker-report.com. And you guys can always reach out to me directly in any one of my social handles, whether it's on Twitter at locker_report, Instagram, lockerreport100, now on Facebook, not only just lockerreport.com, but also check out the Locker Talk podcast on Facebook as well. And you can always shoot me a direct email to barrybarnes@locker-report.com. Well, folks, as you can tell, I'm really excited, as usual, to talk about football. And I hope that you guys have made it to your destination safe, because the things I have to talk about today will definitely keep you locked in and also locked into your seats, because I have some great, great news, some announcements to talk about today in regards of the NFL Regional Combine platform. And as you know, this is what Locker Talk is all about, talking about NFL stars of tomorrow today, focusing on the vein of the NFL that I proudly able to cover through the NFL Regional Combine platform, where we talk about unknown players that right now you don't know about, but they will be significant in the NFL sooner rather than later. All right. Big news to jump into. I had a whole list of whole things I wanted to talk about, but the NFL football operations had finally gave the news about the NFL Regional Combine, which is something that I always talked about on the show. As you know, I'm looking forward to these workouts every year to find the next big thing, NFL hopefuls, players that were looked over because of whatever school they went to or their situations or things they had faced did not allot them the opportunity to be able to be in front of NFL scouts, or I would say NFL decision makers. So on March the 27th through the 29th, the NFL Regional Combine platforms will have not one but two workouts. The first workout will be the NFL Regional Combine Invitational. And within this invitational, they also will have the 2012 prospects for the NFL International Player Pathway Program, which is huge. And I'm going to talk about that part as well. But the biggest part that I'm really excited about, it really got my excitement, got my blood boiling, cannot wait. This will be the first year that the NFL Regional Combine platform will cater a session for HBCU talents. Yes, there will be an HBCU combine for HBCU players alone. And this is huge. Later on in the show, I will tell you why, how important this trial, this session is for our historical black colleges and universities, as this will give them the opportunity to really get in front of the true decision makers within the 32 teams of the league. And I'm going to talk about that later on the show. But before I get to that, definitely going to talk about the NFL Regional Combine. Now, if this is your first time listening, NFL operations invest into this program in 2012. This one is outside of the big one they have in the scouting combine in Indianapolis. The one in Indianapolis is televised. Most of those guys that go to Indy, majority that they are expected to be drafted. These guys are expected to be the faces of the 32 teams in the league. So they're expecting big things from those guys. However, when it comes down to the NFL Regional Combine, it takes a little more skill and evaluation to really look at the players that you never heard of, that came from the small schools, small Division I, some of the Division II schools as well. So it's a little bit more, I would say more dissecting than it is in Indianapolis, because the regional combine, unlike the scouting combine, the regional is set up to build depth, to help build a roster so the team can have enough players that can come in and help support their vision, which all 32 teams' vision is to win the Lombardi Trophy at the end of the year. However, through the NFL Regional Combine, there have been several players that actually not only build themselves up from the practice squad to have limited time, but to also ultimately become Pro Bowl players. Adam Thielen, wide receiver from Minnesota Vikings, came through the process in 2013, is a two-time All-Pro. Johnny Hechler, the kicking specialist for the Los Angeles Rams, Johnny Hechler and Greg Zuerlein came through the pipeline. Greg Zuerlein is a Pro Bowler, one-time Pro Bowler. Hechler is a four-time All-Pro. Out the window, Wendell LaRiva, left tackle for the Pittsburgh Steelers, who actually came through the process after he finished his tour in the Army, came through the process in 2014, got signed by the Philadelphia Eagles as a linebacker, then was picked off of Ravers from the Pittsburgh Steelers. And when the Pittsburgh Steelers picked him up, they actually changed, they actually converted him over into a tight end position. And then around 2015, they had an injury on the offensive line, switched Wendell LaRiva over to being a left tackle, which is truly his natural position. And he's a one-time Pro Bowler. And this year, Austin Riller, starting center for the Kansas City Chiefs, was a part of that magical run with the Chiefs winning Super Bowl 54. And he was a part of that nucleus on that offensive line where Patrick Mahomes, the MVP of Super Bowl 54, really had to deal with pressure in his face. And to have Austin, someone who came through the NFL Regional Combine platform, 2015, seventh-round pick from the Washington Redskins, bounced around to the Browns, found himself on the Chiefs roster this year. Fantastic job. He only got caught with five holding penalties the entire season. That is phenomenal. That's first-round draft pick stuff. But we find that type of talent within the NFL Regional Combine. Now, this year, wrapping up the 2019 season, there were 70 players from the NFL Regional Combine that were in the NFL rosters. The number normally through the years have got less only because operations had went to a one combine format. They went from having many down to six, down to one, because they wanted to make sure that in front of the 32, meaning the 32 teams in the NFL, had quality players that they knew that could have a stronger opportunity to make an NFL roster. So with this year having two workouts is a huge thing. And then to bring over international players who they are looking to implement into the NFL. Now, most of you guys have probably never heard of the International Player Pathway Program. Operations started this program in 2017. And the plan was, since the NFL has games across the waters over in London, the London fan base embraced NFL football. They love it. There's no question about it. And to be able to expand and to build that more excitement, of course, you players from the UK, from the foreign-born players or foreign-born fans would love to see foreign-born players play in the NFL, a game that they so richly excited about. So to open the door for that, what the league has done, they will go and select certain players, whether they were rugby or they were in track, whatever sport they played, primarily rugby football players, for them to forego their career as being rugby players and then have their own workout, international workout, and then from that selection, invite four players. Last year they did five, but at least four players where they will come and work out, and the league will pick, I would say, a pilot division. The first year they did it, it was the NFC South, where they had four players, and each team is allocated 10 players for that practice squad. But that year, all four of those teams, the Saints, the Panthers, the Falcons, and the Bucks, were allowed one other player, and it was a player from the international player pathway, where they would spend a whole year on the practice squad, not having to worry about being cut, but to understand the game, to understand the culture, how to actually become an NFL player for that whole year. Then the second year, then the players are on their own. Then they have to earn their opportunity to be in the NFL. And we had players, you know, like Alex Jenkins, linebacker with the Saints now, signed up with the New York Giants. You know, he sustained. One of the other players, Ife Abato, who's actually a defensive end for the Carolina Panthers, I would say out of the pathway players, he has been the most successful, dating back to 2017, how he's still able to sustain a career in the NFL. He just signed a one-year deal on January the 19th. So he's going to be a Panther at least for one more year. And then hopefully after the 2020 season, he can sign for big money. And then in 2018, they used the NFC, the AFC North. That was the pilot division. Last year, 2019, the AFC East was the pilot division. So I don't know what division will be the host for the international players, but this is just to expand and to get more opportunity for foreign-born players to play in the NFL. The names of the players have not been released yet for the international, for the regional invitational, and the HBCU. Those names have not been released yet. NFL operations is still putting all that stuff together. I'm quite for sure they sending out invites, contacting players, agents. They're putting all that stuff together now, almost about 6 weeks out. It's not going to be really hard to fill the room at the Miami Baptist training facility. So I'm looking forward, you know, to being there. Now that's the regional, and that's the other part, the extension to the regional with the NFL International Player Pathway. You listen to Lock It Talk on the Bassett News Radio Network with host Barry Barnes, founder and CEO of Locker-Fort.com. And like I said, you guys can always reach me through any one of my social handles on Twitter at Locker_Report, Facebook, LockReport.com, and Lock Report Podcast, which is now up on Facebook, Instagram, LockReport100, all small caps. And you also can shoot me an email anytime at barrybarnes@locker-report.com. Now, for the most exciting news in the world, when operations announced they were going to do an HBCU combine, it moved me. And when you understand the history of the NFL, you cannot talk about the NFL history without talking about and speaking on the HBCU players and how HBCU programs pretty much helped save the NFL back in the 60s and in the early 70s before integration really kicked in. We have 10% of the Hall of Fame represented by the HBCU programs with your Michael Strahan, your Jerry Rice, your Walter Payton, Harold Carmichael, Donnie Shell. Historical names that's mentioned and have a bust and that are immortalized in Canton right now as we speak. Now, over the years, there was a lot of changes, I would say, with HBCU schools that you had. First of all, during that period of time, you know, there were 12 rounds of the NFL draft, which played a huge role in players getting selected, for one. That was one thing there. With integration, which was something that the country desperately needed, it hurt the HBCU program as more of our young black men went to more of the powerhouse schools because they had the bigger facilities, they had the bigger budget, and they were able to get more out there players, frankly, than what HBCU programs were willing to do. And HBCU, when you understand the history, HBCUs wanted to show their elites, you know, their white counterpart, that they can be just as smart and brilliant as they are. And that's why they created these schools to compete, not so much on the field, because they knew they can do that on the field, but to compete in the world of business, in the world of any industry, the doctors, your lawyers. This is the reason why the schools were fashioned. But when it comes down to athletics, it was something that they knew that they would garner and really, really succeed in. But over the years, as we've seen schools continue to get bigger and how the influence of the HBCU has lacked on the field, we start to see that there was a difference there, and there were not too many players coming from those programs getting into the NFL to play. But when you look at the numbers for the past several years, when you look at HBCU, because the talent is there, there's no question, you know, about that. And for the record, when you look at from last year alone, there were only 32 players from HBCU programs that were on NFL roster. And the NFL hosts over 1,600 players on all 32 teams. So only 32, come on, something's missing there. Last year, FAMU did not have an NFL scout come to their pro day because it was a conflict in scheduling, whether the school did not communicate with the NFL on their scheduling. So it conflicted with Florida State and Miami and Florida, so they didn't have no scouts there, which is still totally unacceptable. And unfortunately, when it comes down to the field of play, HBCU talents have been overlooked. Enter the NFL football operations, HBCU combine, where now, and the operations recognize that, yes, you know, should the scouts be a little bit more aggressive in trying to get to all the schools to find all the talent? Yes, they recognize that. But they also recognize that no matter what, the scouts cannot get to all the schools. So the whole purpose of the regional combine was to say, okay, these guys was overlooked. It's not saying you guys didn't do a good job, because you did. Clearly, the scouts in the NFL always do their job well, because you see the product on the field. It's the best sport in the country, highest rated sport in the country, taking off around the world. So there's no question about how the scouts are doing their job. But yet, they're still in the back of their minds every year. Was there someone we missed? Was there someone we overlooked? And then, of course, you have players, HBCU players in particular, just like every other player, want to get in front of some true NFL decision makers. With the NFL regional combine, it helped create closure so that the GMs, NFL personnel, and the scouts can say, okay, we went around the country, we went to all these games, we went to all these practices, okay, we did everything we were supposed to do, you know, looked and went to certain camps, we did everything, but there were still some kids out there that we missed. With the regional combine, it helps bring those players to them where they all would be at. Now, this year, with the workouts being in Miami, the logistics of it is fantastic because the workouts is going to be in Miami. In Miami, I believe this year, where the owners' meetings will be taking place. And when the owners' meetings are being taken place, a lot of the personnel are already there. They're going to come to the Miami facility to see these guys work out. So the HBCU players are really going to have the right people right in front of them, looking at them, making pure judges off their skill set to see, okay, who's going to be the next big thing that we don't know about right now that can help build our roster's depth and potentially become something great like the past players that came through the sessions before them. So the logistics part is awesome because you have HBCUs along the East Coast and the South, and they can easily get there. So that's the part that another part that's really exciting about it. But on a show that I was on last night with the Bachelor Pad, there was questions that came up. And one of the big things, the questions that came up was, why now? Why all of a sudden the NFL want to do something like this now? You know, did Kaepernick have anything to do with it? Well, first of all, folks, just look at it like this. I'm going to make it really simple. If your son or your daughter was a knucklehead all their life or suffered or they was in a situation of abuse or anything, and then all of a sudden they just want to change and they trying to do the right thing, are you going to ask your son and daughter why now, why you want to get your life together now? You know, it can be an insult, and it also can be a slap in the face knowing that your child is trying to do the right thing. Don't come out and ask now. It's not one of those situations to judge. Every time there's progression to move forward, please don't find fault in what's taking shape. Don't try to find fault when things are moving forward to make things better. And with operations getting involved, which is truly spearheaded by someone who I trust daily within the front office, who is a man, believe it or not, that did not attend an HBCU school. He actually went to Wisconsin, and Troy Vincent, vice president of football operations for the NFL. When he took over in 2014, there were a lot of things that he wanted to help put in place, and HBCU programs were one of them. But what Mr. Vincent has done and what he had put in place, and I want you guys, whenever you get a chance, and then at the end of the show, I will put up a link. Just go with me after the show, go to Locker Dash Report, click on Locker Talk Podcast, or go to the Facebook. I will have the link to NFL Operations talking about what they have been doing for a while. It's called the NFL and HBCUs. And just to give you that link, just to show you what the link had talked about, and it says, in May of 2016, the NFL launched Strength of HBCUs, impacting pro football since 1948 in partnership with two preeminent HBCU athletic conferences, the Mid-Eastern Atlantic Conference, MEAC, and the Southwest Athletic Conference, the SWAC. The partnership celebrates and honors the historical impact of HBCUs and their players on the game and to provide career opportunities in the game of football. Quote from Mr. Troy Vincent, NFL Vice President of Football Operations, quote, the NFL partnership with HBCUs has deep roots in football's history. We are working together to honor the rich history and provide opportunities to students and administrators from these great institutions. End quote. The NFL partnership with HBCUs works to celebrate this history, to increase opportunities, and provide access. The issue that our people don't have, and what the focus of operations led by Mr. Vincent, is to create access, opportunity, and awareness to men and women of color. Now, of course, when we look at football, we look at the NFL as the playing aspects of the league. But behind the scenes, folks, it's more than just being able to run and catch the ball. Within the NFL, better yet, within the game of football itself, there are a lot of opportunities for African Americans to be able to, from HBCUs, to have an impact on the game itself, off the field, whether it's coaching, videography, editing, officiating, anything. It touches on a lot. And there are programs that is catered to the HBCU movement, which is something the NFL desperately need. I'm quite for sure that with Mr. Vincent's involvement with the NFL legends and also player engagement, that the true pioneers from the HBCUs, the Willie Linares from Morgan State University, who's sharp as a tack. I mean, I tell you, I interviewed this man a couple years ago. He's brilliant in a lot of ways. And I'm quite for sure that with their conversations with Mr. Vincent about HBCU's impact on the NFL really confirmed his motion. So when the question that came up on the show last night that asked, hey, is Jay-Z the reason why they put this whole thing together? No, folks. This had been long before Jay-Z even wanted to be a part of the NFL. I can probably even go a little further, even before he started hip-hop, started rapping. This had been something that the league wanted to do. It just took one person in Troy Vincent to be able to step up to the plate to really move things forward. And so at this link, you're going to see me use this link a lot on leading all the way up to anything that's covering the HBCUs through Lock Report. This link is going to always be there. And it will be up there today for you guys to be able to look. I just had someone who just emailed, and he asked, if the NFL will push for every HBCU school will have a player represented at the combine to make it a true HBCU combine, and if so, is there something they will continue every year? Okay. At the combine, will they have a player from each institution? I don't know, but if I have an answer off the bat, I would say no. Now, just like any other school that's trying to get in, they're not going to just have just because someone had played in the combine. They have to be credible guys, credible talent to go before the scouts, because the last thing you don't want to have NFL scouts and personnel and GMs to do is to come to a workout and have players that are not NFL caliber players or had the potential NFL caliber players. Not everyone who played college football can play in the NFL. Trust me. The NFL, it is not an easy game. The skill set these guys, from myself that's evaluating and still learning to evaluate, it is a hard process, folks. It's not easy. You know, it's very hard, but it's rewarding when you make it. So when you see someone that's wearing that shield emblem on their football jersey, that means a lot. I don't care if you are a starter for 20 years like a Tom Brady, or you just only played 3 years in the NFL. You were one of the best players on the planet, and you made an NFL roster. That is a huge accomplishment. So to say, well, one player from each school going to be there, I don't know, but I can come. But within confidence of knowing the way how it is to have the right players there, absolutely not. They're only going to have the better players from the HBCU school at their combine, assuming that the players will accept, which I'm quite for sure everyone will accept, because they want to make sure that it's quality players in front of the right decision makers, because you don't want to waste these guys' time. And to be able to, for operations to help out the 32, is highly respected. So the respect level is already there. The 32 teams are expecting that operations will give them a good product to look at. And I'm quite for sure, definitely without a doubt in my mind, that the players they're going to have for both the Regional Combine Invitational and the International Player Pathway and the HBCU players will be quality guys that the decision makers will have there to look at. Now, will this be something every year? I can say with a clear heart, without even knowing, that yes, this is going to be an every year thing, because that number that I told you last year, 32 players. The year before, 31 players. But folks, out of a little over 1,600 players in the NFL, to only have 32 players from the NFL or from the HBCU program, yeah, this HBCU combine is going to be around for a while because they want that number to increase. But they want to make sure that when the number increase, that they are clearly talented players that can play on the highest level of football. You listen to Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow today. Also, another emailer had asked another question, just sent me another message asking, what about hiring HBCU coaches and player personnel as well? Good question. This is the other side of the programs that I just mentioned not too long ago, how operations not only putting on a combine for the players, but they have sessions. They have things in the pipeline and sessions where HBCU alumni, students, faculties, coaches, they can come and learn about the other things that the game of football will offer. So we have, you know, executives or administrators with all 32 teams that will welcome anyone, first of all, that has the talent, have the drive to help make that organization successful. And they welcome HBCU talents and HBCU dreamers because HBCU students, they are dreamers as well. You have some that dream to play on the field, and you have some that dream to be behind the scenes. So will they open up for personnel and for coaches? Absolutely. We have one coach, Tyrone Wheatley, who is a longtime NFL player who's now the coach of Morgan State University. So we have – he's just one of them, one of the many, several coaches in our HBCU schools. Several of them have NFL ties that played in the league and want to give back to the HBCU program. So there's a change there. This is something that's trending slowly but surely. But will they have opportunities as personnel as well to be able to affect the NFL and the game of football? Absolutely. It's not just for the players. And it's not just for the men. It's for women too. One of the other strong suits that we see now that all women, given the opportunity and talking in the framework of the NFL now, I'm not going to try to open up to everything else in society. But one of the things that's also on their plate is diversity. And this is something that when I go to the NFL front office, it is there, folks. I tell you, it is really there. It's fantastic. And we have some fantastic women that's working with the NFL as well. And you're starting to see even more women starting to impact even on our sidelines now. So women is one of the other strong suits that they're looking for. You know, they're not going to necessarily get on the field to play with the men, but they can affect the way how men play on the field because they are smart, they are bright, and they will bring a different element to the game of football, which everyone is really excited about. So it opens up to every part of personnel, so it's not just the play on the field. So when I send you this link, or you just go to NFL Operations yourself, go to NFL Operations, and find it and look for the link that says the NFL and HBCUs. You will see what the plan they implemented since dating back to 2016. It took some years to go forward publicly about what they're doing in 2016. Because, like I said, Troy Vincent took over as executive vice president of football operations in 2014. And this was one of his main things that he had on his plate to really get out there. So, folks, just letting you know, football, despite some of the things that's going on, especially when it comes down to the coaches on the sideline, you know, that's something that's being worked out, but it takes steps, and certain steps are being made. And through the vein of the NFL Regional Combine, through NFL Operations, this is a vein that these guys are working on, sincere about, cold-hearted with conversations with executives in the NFL. This is what they want. This is something they know is needed, and you definitely don't want to not only overlook the talents of the small schools and other levels of football out there. You definitely don't want to ignore HBCUs because HBCU programs, in a lot of ways, helped save this league in the 60s and the 70s. And to turn their back on them wholeheartedly, operations has said, well, these 32 teams are going to need some help. Let's put some play in action, and that's what they're doing this year in Miami on March 27th through the 29th. where these players from HBCU schools and the small schools, all of them intertwined together, will be able to capitalize on everything that the kids that got invited to Indy with the interviews, with having the real decision makers watching them, talking to them. It's going to be an exciting thing, folks. And from this point on all the way up to March, everything I talk about in this show is going to lead right up to it. When the players, when the names are released from the rosters, I will go through those players. I will go on the site. I will highlight these players. I will turn the NFL Regional Combine into the Scouting Combine itself. So make sure you guys stay tuned. If you know any player that had the potential that to be able to get to the NFL, whether it's a small school or HBCU schools, you know, contact the NFL front office the best way you can. I don't know how they're going to pick their players. I don't know what's their process, but I know they have a process, and I know probably in a couple of weeks I will have a list of names that I will share and will enjoy talking about and looking to highlight and bring that information back to you guys. You're not going to get this information from nowhere else. You will get everything here from Locker Talk with your host, Barry Barnes, who I'm a proud host of this program and founder of Locker-Report.com. And make sure you guys tune in next week as we talk more about the Regional Combine, its breakdown, its history leading up to the players all the way to the workout. And this is the Locker Talk on the Bachelor News Radio Network, where you hear about NFL stars of tomorrow. Today, you guys can always reach out to me at any one of my social handles on Twitter at Locker_Report, Instagram, LockReport100, on Facebook, LockReport.com, and the Locker Talk podcast that's on Facebook. But you also can send me an email like these other emailers directly to my email at BarryBarnes@Locker-Report.com. Hope everyone have themselves a safe weekend. Enjoy yourself. Love those that's close to you. And make sure everyone continues to stay blessed. And tune in to next week. Have some more exciting news about football players that are stars of tomorrow today. Thank you for tuning in.
Welcome to Pro Talk with the Mighty Oba. We are once again back here with you with one of the most intriguing guests that I have ever had. She is one of the most outstanding people you will ever meet, and a native Buffalonian, and also we went to the same high school. She is one of the top people in media marketing and offers a full round of services through her company. With me here today is Alvina Alston. How are you today, darling?
I'm here. I'm just in awe of that. I'm speechless about that.
What happened? I'm like, did she leave me already? I worked on this great introduction because I am one of your great admirers. You're an outstanding person in your field, and certainly this is Black History Month. I am so proud to call you not only my friend, but we went to the same high school. She's also a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority and one of the top people in her field. I am honored to have you on Pro Talk with the Mighty Oba. How are you today?
I am doing well. I am honored to be here, and I am just really just simply in awe of your introduction and just all of the love and support that you have shown me. So I just want to really thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. You're a legend, and it's just truly an honor for me to be here today. Thank you so much.
Well, I love you. You fixed my ego so well with this legend stuff. I love that. But not only are you one of the tops in your field as far as media marketing, you're a TV executive and the CEO of the international branding and image firm More Media LLC. And I am so proud of you because you are making a mark.
Wow.
I have been looking to do something with you for a number of weeks and months, and we happen to run into each other at the Super Bowl. And you are everywhere. I am very proud of you. You are one of the ones that they are talking about when they are talking about Black girl magic. You are one of them.
Wow. Wow. I really can't thank you all enough. And you know, you being from my hometown has extreme, you know, significance to me. It's very important to me, and it just means so much to me that you've taken this time. And I give all credit to God for His glory and mercy on my life. And just looking at your illustrious career, I've known about you for a very, very long time. And you are one of the people that paved the way for me to do what I do. So I don't take any credit. I give all credit to you. You know, coming from Buffalo, having a stellar career at Buffalo and doing what you've done, a great man that you are, and I'm just grateful to you as well. Bennett and Morehouse grad, so thank you for everything you've done for me and people like me that want to get into the business.
I tell you, you're good for my ego, I tell you. But you are a fantastic person, and you're in a field that is very highly competitive. What made you move into media marketing?
What made me get into it was no one looked like me on TV. And since no one looked like me, I wanted to open a, you know, doors for others. Well, when I was in high school, I wanted to be a news reporter because I saw the power of what TV looked like.
Yes.
And I saw that power because in living in the projects, when everyone's favorite news program was on, they would run to watch it. And I was like, I need to be a part of that. If that could stop the chaos that was going on in my environment, I need to be a part of that. And that's what I opted to do. Me being a talker, and it's just astounding that I can talk, because when I was a baby, there was a growth in my throat, and the doctors told my mom I would never talk. If they operate, they would have to cut me from ear to ear.
Wow.
Because this growth was threatening my speech. So, yeah, so to make a long story short, my mom, she stepped out on faith, and she said, I'm not going to operate because I don't want my daughter to have this scar. And lo and behold, she never operated, and I've been fine ever since. My mom says the growth is still there, but it never affects my talking. As a matter of fact, that's all I did was talk. I got A's in school, and like, you talk too much, talk too much. I went to Campus East School growing up, and they're like, she talks too much, talk too much. But she has A's. So I think I was destined to be a talker, and it was just like natural for me to want to be in the media, you know, to want to talk. So that's what, you know, just that mark on my life, that was just the enemy saying, you know what, she's not going to be able to talk, but God said yes. And my mom's faith, you know, opened the door for me to do what I'm doing today.
Tell me about your career as it started on Long Island at the age of 19. You started with LI News. Am I correct?
Yes. Yes. I started with LI News. It was a student-run program where people who wanted to become news reporters got the gist of learning the craft from A to Z. And I learned my craft actually covering stories, going out, covering all types of stories that were on the two counties that are on Long Island, which is Nassau and Suffolk. In addition to that, getting my college degree, which I have a bachelor's in communications. So, I mean, that was interesting because I got to actually see what it meant to be a news reporter by doing that in the field, and also realizing that there was a lack of diversity in people that looked like me in the field.
Absolutely.
So I knew that God chose me to do it. And still, I mean, that was 19. I graduated in 1993, but we're talking about 1989 and 90, which was really a lack of diversity. And that same diversity lack is prominent today in 2020. It was really sparse then. And I just, you know, thank God that He opened the door for me to encourage others. Actually, you being on air, you being in the radio, that actually spurred all of us in Buffalo to want to do the same thing, because we knew of people like you that were doing it. So we knew that there was hope for us to do it. So like I said, in working in Long Island, it was really at a time where, you know, there were so few of us in the field, and I encountered so many different forms of, you know, oppression and racism and things that happened, but that didn't deter me. It only gave me my strength and resolve to continue doing what I'm doing. So I'm very grateful to LI News for taking me under their wing. They opened up the door for us. As far as learning, you know, getting that hands-on experience and letting me know that I could do it. And I'm very grateful to the anchor there, Ken Eckhart, who really took a fondness in me and really took me under his wing to show me that I could do it. and give me that confidence that I could do it. You know, but, you know, growing up in Buffalo, we already have that innate confidence. You know, the weather is bad.
Right.
You know, we don't have that much, to do as far as the winter. But, I mean, to grow up in those harsh conditions, we are built differently. Growing up in Western New York, we are built tough. You know,
right.
We're built that, you know, no doesn't exist.
Mm.
So, I mean, so I don't take for granted that I grew up in Buffalo, New York. It's in my heart and it's with me everywhere that I go. Growing up in below,
Absolutely. Alvina, you've also worked with Inside Edition. Tell me about that.
Well, that was quick. See, I worked with Inside Edition just as an intern for one summer, and actually Bill O'Reilly was the anchor there. So that was just a brief stint, but I'm glad I came through those doors. It wasn't the Inside Edition that you see today because I was only an intern writer there and researcher.
Okay.
But, that honed my craft with Bill O'Reilly. But where I really, really got my, wings was at LI News Tonight and then working at ABC News. So ABC News, where I worked the overnight shift from 3 a.m. to noon, is where I really saw what it was really like to work in a newsroom.
Mm.
And, you know, that was just like, look, you work in the number one market, which New York is, no one's going to hold your hand in this
right.
game. It's like, look, either you got to, you eat what you kill. And it separates the men from the boys and the girls from the women about who's really built for this.
Right.
You have to have a tough, thick skin. You have to work fast under pressure, and you have
right.
to be accurate. There's no room for real error when you're doing live news. But everybody's human. You make mistakes, and you learn
Absolutely.
Making those mistakes. So I'm grateful for ABC, and then I went to CBS for 5 years. And then I got my first job as an on-air reporter that wasn't at a student-run place at the News 12 Network. So I worked at News 12 New Jersey. Then I worked at News 12 Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I got an opportunity to work at CBS NNS News Service. And from there, I got a job working for Fox Business Channel. I got an offer to help to launch the Fox Business Channel. And as they say, the rest is history.
Mm. Now, you also worked with the Global News Network. Tell me about that.
Well, Fox News is considered a global news network. So from Fox Business, Fox News, then I worked for Arise Global News, which was a channel that was based in New York, but it was covering the African perspective, based in Africa, like the Africa. And then from there, I also worked at I-24 News, which is a global news network as well.
Okay.
So international news is where it's at. I mean, and national news. Finding out the pulse of the nation, figuring out what's going on around the world, which is key, and that gave me really, more strength, and it gave me a better asset,
gotcha.
Being more valuable in the news business,
having
the international perspective. It took me outside of my comfort zone of doing national local news,
uh-huh.
where you're doing international news, you're learning about countries, and you know what, you'll find that even though it's international, we're all alike.
Okay.
We're all alike. No matter where you're from, we're all close because those same issues affect us in different ways across the nation.
You
and
also,
international.
Alvina, you also talked about some of your challenges. You said that everything has not been easy for you. You also stated a tragedy of losing triplets. What exactly happened and how did that affect you? And most importantly, how did you recover and move forward?
Wow. In 2000, I found out I was pregnant with triplets, my husband and I. And my grandmother had two sets of twins. One died in infancy and one lived to adults. And one was murdered. They actually subsequently died later on in their adult years. However, that trait, as we like to call it, came to me. I was pregnant. I thought I was having one baby, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor saw 6 legs, and he said, "You're having triplets."
Wow.
And make a long story short, it was all natural, and make a long story short, one of the babies died immediately because I went into labor at 6 months.
Okay.
One died when she was 4 months old, and one died when she was almost 6 months old.
Wow.
So, because of low birth weight, And, you know, but God doesn't make any mistakes. I mean, he does things for a reason.
Yes.
And that just gave me more resolve to do what I'm doing, and also to encourage and inspire other people that it doesn't matter what you go through, that you can get through it. So God gave me that gift of going through that to encourage and inspire others and to let them know that they can get through anything. And that's exactly what I speak to young people about today. And that he gave me that to encourage people. And I still have my angels who open doors for me. They are in heaven.
Absolutely.
They may not be with me physically, but they are with me, and they give me the resolve to keep going and doing what I'm doing.
That's right.
And I wouldn't know you. I wouldn't be able to go to Super Bowl with three babies.
Right.
Or, you know, or doing what I'm doing because, you know, when I lost those babies, I had a daughter at the time who was four. So that would have meant I would have had to really stay home. I mean, I could not afford child care for four kids.
Right.
So it gave me, you know, with one daughter, I was able to continue my career and then to move on, become a business owner, what I'm doing today. So nothing is a mistake.
So your faith was the basis of your recovery?
Yes. Faith. God is everything.
That's right.
You can recognize him now or later. Listen, he's going to make sure that he knows that you are king. Now, the sooner you recognize and are obedient to Christ, is the sooner you're going to get to your success. And we're all human. We don't listen. You know, by nature, we don't listen. But God has shown me that he is real in several instances in my life. The triplet situation, people look at it like, oh, my God, that was a curse. No, it's not.
Yes.
It was a blessing because God gave me strength and power because my personality is not the personality that will flourish in news, meaning that I'm very kind. I love people. I'm genuine. I'm soft-hearted. But losing those triplets gave me that edge I needed to say, look, and to make it because it is such a tough industry. Every industry is tough, but those triplets, after that happened, it gave me a resolve, like, look, nothing is ever going to stop me.
Mm.
It was a difficult time because when I lost the triplets, the doctors thought I was HIV positive because my white blood cells were so low. At that time, in 2000, it took a while, like a week, for the test to come back. So the doctor said, Ms. Austin, did you take an HIV test? I was like, why? I mean, I'm like, if I'm not promiscuous,
right,
I'm not a drug user, why would that come to me? And I'm like, oh, my God, my sister died of AIDS. So I'm like, did I hug her? Did something get on me?
Mm.
I couldn't believe it. I was newly married. I'm like, oh, my God. Lo and behold, the doctor said, oh, my God, no, we had a mistake. You don't have it. And, you know.
Right.
So going through that was tough. I knew I didn't have it because I knew the 1% chance they said that they were wrong, I knew God was right. So it was, you know, I never had it. They never diagnosed me with it. They just thought it could be that because of the low white blood cell count. Come to find out, it was something called chronic benign neutropenia.
Okay.
And that's something that I have. That's just, you know, a lot of African Americans have a low white blood cell count, and I'm one of them.
Okay.
So that's just a testimony to me and a resolve that, look, that I was going through the worst period of my life. My babies are dying. Then they come with this news. I'm like, what else could happen?
Wow.
And prior to that, in 94, my sister had died of AIDS. And then my father was found dead in the house. So I'm like, oh, my God, what else could happen to me? Everything happened to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? We are warriors. We're Buffalo Warriors.
That's
and we
right.
go through, and we don't look like what we go through. So I'm just honored that God chose me to go through these things because I know I'm strong. And, you know, whatever he takes away, he gives us back. He gives us back 10 times.
You
so
know,
I'm not going to complain and say I went through anything because people are suffering out here and people are dying.
Absolutely. When I was thinking about some of these questions and how your career has matriculated, I was looking at Eminem's performance at the Academy Awards and his song Lose Yourself, and I started thinking of you. I said, did you begin to lose yourself in your career and it really focused you a little bit more?
You think you said, as far as my adversity, you saying the things that I went through, if you could just you went out a bit. I didn't hear that last question. Say it one more time.
Well, sometimes your adversity can help you lose yourself in your career goals. And
you are right. You are so right.
And it helps you focus yourself a little bit more because it helps take away
you know, we're all human. There is some emotional pain, but you seem to be able to refocus yourself on your career goals and the goals that you have set for yourself with adversity.
Yes, sir. You know, and that's a process. I mean, like all of us, we go through highs and lows, but you have to look at what's important as far as your goals. I knew that my daughter at the time needed her mom, and she needed her mom to prosper. You know, New York isn't Buffalo, so like I said, you eat what you kill here. And I knew that I had to persevere to feed her, keep a roof over our head, and to be strong. And I basically had no other option.
Right.
And I owe that not only to God, but to my mom, who still lives in Buffalo. I mean, she's no joke. She raised three girls in the project in Buffalo, and she never gave up by herself. And she told us, and she instilled pride in me, you know, pride, professionalism, and believing in God. So, you know, I owe it to God and my mom.
Right.
So it was no turning back for me, you know, and I knew that I had to persevere and keep my head up and keep going.
Mm.
And it's not easy, as you know, just being in this business and finding out what's the next step. Remember, see, people don't understand in the media, they look at us like it's all glitz and glamour, but as you know, it is not. We are constantly trying to keep our jobs, constantly, you know, stay above an overly saturated market that doesn't look like us.
Right.
So how do we prosper and persevere where we work in, you know, we have 10 and 20 years of experience, and then others just come right out of college and get those top jobs.
Right.
Because we don't have that help. We don't have anyone that showed us around the newsroom growing up or had an uncle or an aunt or someone else that worked in this business. We had to get here ourselves.
Exactly.
Sheer hard work.
Exactly.
Sheer hard work.
You're telling the
truth.
And
that's what it's about.
You're telling the truth, sister. I'm here with Alvina Alston here on Pro Talk with the Mighty Ova. She is one of my sheroes. It's Black History Month, and why not honor one of Buffalo's own, my friend, Alvina Alston, a media mogul. I like that word. And it talks about you. Tell me about your company, More Media LLC.
I had the opportunity to, when I was working at Fox, so Fox provided a great avenue for me, a great resource for me as far as talent. It's the number one network in the world because they have supreme talent and supreme guests.
Right.
And working there was not easy, but God was preparing me to do what I'm doing now. And working there as a producer, I met publicists who wanted help putting their clients on other networks, and I would do it for them. And since I did it for them,
mm-hmm.
I got good at it. And I'm like, wait, why am I doing this for them? I could do this on my own. And you know what? Lo and behold, in 2009, I launched More Media, and then More Media started to grow. But listen, I had fear. I had fear of doing it full time. And to make a long story short, what happened was Fox Business had layoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Fox Business had layoffs that year, and they had never had layoff before. And I credit that to me having fear because I would go in the bathroom. The bathroom was my office for More Media, and I would make calls because I was scared. I'm like, look, I'm getting a check. I'm not going to mess this up. This check is every week. I'm going to work this job. I got benefits, and I had fear. And guess what? I had went to Super Bowl with David Tyree in 2012, and I came back, and the boss was like, we're laying off the primetime unit. Everybody's laid off. And I was like, what do I do? One of the bosses at the time was like, Alvina, go and apply to work for Lou Dobbs or another show. And I was like, nope, God, I'm going to walk out on faith. I walked outside. I cried. I said, look, I'm going to do this More Media full time. And one of my friends had an office not too far away and said, you could use some office space. You know, why don't you, you know, use some office space? And I was blessed to do that because I had put him on TV for free at the time. And you see how God bless you when you just walk out on faith and the rest, and put it like this, the rest is history.
Oh, wow. I love that.
I liken this to Jonah in the well. You know, we don't have fear. God is going to, we have fear. God searches us out. Right? And that's what happened. I had fear, and God laid everybody off, and I blame myself for that.
All right.
Because that's the strongest network. Like, they never had layoffs.
Now, tell me,
yes.
What think about this now. What was that breakthrough moment that you knew you were going to make that real impact in this highly competitive market with your company?
Every moment is a breakthrough moment. Just getting up off the bed and knowing that I have that confidence in yourself. Because remember, it starts in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you why. When God gave me this one client, Steven Jackson was the number one running back.
Right.
Running back, he was at the time with the Rams. I had met an I had met his financial advisor. And when I met his financial advisor, he said, "You need to work for Steven Jackson." I flew in, and Steven said, "I'm going to sign with her." Now, mind you, Oba, I didn't know end zone from auto zone.
Mm-hmm.
But God qualified me.
Mm. That is
and that's
awesome.
When I knew I could do it.
Mm.
Because I had the formula.
And your relationship with Steven Jackson is still very good?
Always very good. He's my brother.
All
love
right.
him. He gave me that opening to succeed, and I just spoke to him at Super Bowl.
Nice.
And he told the client I was with, "I love her. She's my sister." And we still work together from time to time. Of course, he's retired, but we still work together.
Right. Now, your company offers a full service of branding, media, public relations, and et cetera. How did you get so diversified, and how did you make this happen with all of your skills and you put them all into this company? How did you make this happen?
Well, actually, I didn't make it happen. I just worked with clients, and the clients did it for me, word of mouth. Just giving my best. I make mistakes just like everybody else, but the key is just being honest, genuine, not lying about what you can do, just saying, "Hey, this is what I can do. If I can't do it, I know someone who can." And I think honesty is, and this business is word of mouth. And every client that I've gotten has been word of mouth. Nothing was cold calling. They found me, and that's God. It's just word of mouth, and it's just doing a good job. Like, you know, God will increase your territory. If you do good with a little, he'll give you more, and that's what happened. I mean, and everything is not sunny. Everything is not, you know, everything is not easy.
Mm.
So what happens is you lose some clients, you gain some clients. Some things work and some things don't work.
That's
but you
right.
just keep going and you don't give up. I mean, the richest people and most successful people in this world have lost a lot, but they've gained a lot, and
that's
they've
right.
never given up.
That's right.
And that's the thing. You never give up, no matter what it looks like right now. We do know that victory is always certain, and that's what it is. Victory is always certain, and that's what we have to keep in mind, you know, that victory is always certain, and that we, you know, we keep our head above water no matter what.
Mm. Now, I know in your business, you don't have to mention any names.
And we just keep our heads.
But can you tell me which client, can you tell me a story about a client that has given you the most trouble? Not wanting to listen to, you know, that moral advice that's always trying to lead them in a direction to keep that brand at
yeah.
a top level.
Well, because of my loyalty, I'm not gonna mention any names. But
that's fine.
I mean, I've worked with some very, very, very difficult clients who don't want to listen to women, who think women are beneath them.
Oh.
But then God shows up and shows them that, hey, listen, you better listen. She knows what she's talking about. I mean, put it like this. All clients can be difficult. Because what happens is they think they know everything. You know
right.
what I mean, Oba?
Right.
And I know you probably have some stories too, correct?
Oh, yeah.
In your 25 years, yeah. am I wrong or right?
Absolutely.
Right. But put it like this. What happens is when they're used to a certain way of doing things and they don't want to conform, and that can be difficult. But guess what? I'm grateful and I'm blessed to work with every single one because every one that I've worked with has given me, it's like building a house.
Right.
They have given me tools to be who I am. And let me just tell you guys this. I have shed a lot of tears. I've had a lot of heartbreak, and I've had even more disappointment from clients.
Mm.
But guess what? God has given me so much, and I'm so much stronger because of it.
Mm.
I mean, horrific things have happened to to me because of some clients berating me, overlooking my talent, not paying me my worth. Sexism, that happens a lot because I'm a woman in the male field, but I'm very professional. That happens more often than not, and not just by men.
Yes.
Tell me about that,
Alvina, because that's a subject that a lot of people always think it's men that underestimate the talent of a woman in a field, but sometimes it's another woman. Am I right?
Yes, sometimes a woman, you know, but what you have to do is you have to just remain professional. You just have to remain and let them know you should not give in to your poor value for money or for a job. Because at the end of the day, you are still a woman, you are still a man, you're still a child of God, and people will still look up to you. Reputation lasts forever. So you should never, never compromise who you are for anybody. And I don't care who you are.
Right.
And I'm not going to compromise who I am for anybody. I'm from Buffalo. My mom is Janet Austin, and she raised a leader. And at the end of the day, you got to live with yourself. Because clients are going to come and go. But guess what? You still are you, and you still have to look at yourself at the end of the day. And I refuse to do anything that I was not raised and out of to compromise what my fabric is and who I am. And I've gained that respect with the men and women that I work with. Like, Alvina, don't try that with her.
Right. You are that black girl magic from Buffalo, New York. Bennett High School. I love that.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's been my honor, and I just thank you so much for the accolades, and I really thank you for this interview. And I'm a work in progress, and I'm here to help anyone else. I mean, to whom much is given, much is required. So I'm just very grateful to you for this experience and this interview, to all of your millions of listeners. And, again, you're a legend, so, I mean, iron sharpens iron, and I look to you to continue. If I can be just as half as successful as you are, then I think I'm blessed. So I just thank you guys, and I thank all of your listeners. I'm actually here with one of my newer clients who I'm honored to work with, who's Ray J, and also his celebrity barber, Eve. So I'm actually here at Raycon with Ray J after a long day of interviews. So I just thank you for this time and being here. With your listeners.
All right. I appreciate you being with me here today, Alvina Austin. And we're going to have to do this again because I always have more questions for you.
It's my honor. Thank you so much.
But I know you're busy. We're going to have to get together. Let's talk shop because you know I'm working on many, many projects.
Oh, congratulations.
And I need, you know, that professional person working with me. So let's do some things.
I will be honored. You have me already in your arsenal.
All right.
That's forever.
That's all for us here on Pro Talk with the Mighty Over with Alvina Austin, my good friend from Buffalo, New York, and from my alma mater, Bennett High School. We have some deep roots with each other. We're going to talk again soon, okay?
Thank you so much for the interview, and you have a great day. All your listeners, I love you all. And you can reach me at moremediahits@gmail.com.
All right.
Or on Instagram and Facebook at moremediahits or Alvina Austin.
All right. Take care now.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye.